Okay, so today we're talking a bit about light. There was an eclipse earlier this week, you may remember, and the impact of that and the excitement of that. But we think about light. What is light? Is it a wave or is it a particle? Those who know a bit of physics will know that in some ways it is both. But light has always been a puzzle to mankind throughout history. It wasn't until about 1000 AD until 1000 AD, people thought that light rays were emitted from the eye in some way. Initially, the Egyptians thought that light was emitted from the sun god Ra when he opened his eyes. And then the Greeks thought that light was a fire in the eyes that emitted rays when opened. Later Greeks had a theory that sight came about when the fires of the eye combined with the fires of the sun. And that thought was still going on quite late into history. If you think about the Wesley hymn, "And Can It Be?", there is a line in there, "Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light." The idea that the eye produces the light rays. But eventually, a Persian scientist called Alhazen proposed and studied that the light did not shoot from the eye, but entered the eye, and it was through that we had vision. This, after the Renaissance, where it was known in the West, influenced Western scientists and led to a study of light and created a debate in the West, where you had Newton saying that light was particles and Huygens saying that light was waves. The wave theory was shown to be mainly correct in the 19th century. But as you may know, in the early 20th century, you have Planck and Einstein, who showed that light seemed to be both waves and particles. So that's your physics lesson for the day. But from that, you can see, what is light? And is that light? Or is there something more? In our series on the seven I am sayings of John, we come to the second, I am the light of the world. In the reading, we just suddenly had Jesus speaking up. And it would be helpful if you've got Bibles either on your phones or physical ones to have them available so you can look at this passage and some of the others I'll speak about. For those with the physical versions, the Church Bible is page 1073. And those on the phones, it's where you find it, John chapter 8. But in the reading, Jesus suddenly speaks up. He says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." It's a little bit out of context, that. What is the context? We're partway through John chapter 8, and the question is he responding to the woman caught in adultery, which is the passage immediately before, where he's told the woman that he doesn't condemn her, but he tells her to go and sin no more? And then is Jesus speaking up and saying, "I am the light of the world"? The problem with that is that in the text it implies that everyone has left Jesus because they are not without sin. Who is he speaking to then if they've all gone? And secondly, if you look at your Bibles, you will see that the section at the start of chapter 8 is not in many ancient manuscripts or is placed somewhere else in John's Gospel. So an alternative might be that Jesus is speaking in response to the end of chapter 7. Where the Pharisees have arrogantly rejected Jesus and turn on Nicodemus, who suggested that they ought to hear him before they condemn him. This might follow on because we're told that the location that Jesus is speaking is in the place of the offerings, which was very close to the place where the Sanhedrin usually met. But even then, it feels a little bit disjointed. What is the context? Why is he saying this? But one thing that is clear, both chapter 7 and 8 are taking place during the Feast of Tabernacles. One of the ceremonies that is thought to happen in tabernacles in the first century was the lighting of lamps. Four enormous oil lamps were lit in the court of women, shining on the temple, in the same way as buildings are floodlit today. So whatever the context that Jesus was speaking in, he was speaking about light where there were lights shining as part of the Feast of Tabernacles. These lights were directed to the center of the temple, to the holy place, the place that signified where the glory of God resided. And there Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." If we think about the background, Solomon, when he first dedicated the temple, he prayed, and the glory of God, the Shekinah glory, came down and filled the temple with light. You see that in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. But this is not Solomon's temple. That had been destroyed. This was Herod's temple, which was an expansion of the temple built when the exiles returned. And there is no record of the glory of God filling that place. But as part of the festivals, the building was lit up to signify the glory of God. So it was in this context that Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." He was in the temple court near where the offerings were, we're told, and that is in the court of the women, where the lights were. So it's likely, almost as if the lights were being lit up as he said it, and they were shining up on the temple, and Jesus says, "He is the light of the world." But what does this claim mean? It's clearly a strong claim, because if you look at the Pharisees' reaction, they immediately challenge him. And there follows a slightly strange and complex debate about witnesses and whether Jesus could bear witness to himself or not. And that's something that occurs on and off in John's Gospel. So the Pharisees didn't like what he said. But what was the claim? Well, it must have been that it is not the light of the temple, the light on the temple that shows the glory of God, that picture of the glory of God from those oil lamps, but it is Jesus. He's standing up and saying he is the light of the world, and he is therefore displaying the presence of God around him. He's making a claim about who he is. He is the light. He is showing God's presence by his presence. So we come to our first question. Who then is Jesus? He is the light of the world. But what on earth does that mean? We're going to do that by looking at what light means in John's Gospel. Have a look through part of John's Gospel to see what we've already seen about light in John's Gospel. And if you think about it, you should know that light appears in the prologue of John's Gospel. It's a reading we have at Christmas and many other times in the year. So we have, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. Here, the prologue is talking about creation. Because at the beginning of the prologue, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made." So we're talking about the beginning of the prologue of John's Gospel, we're talking about creation, and we say in that the light has come, the light shines in the darkness. And if we think about creation, Genesis 1, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The heavens and the earth were spoken into being by God. It is this light that was in him, the Word that is Jesus, and he spoke light into the world. And this is physical light. It was created and shines out, separating light from darkness. Light that illuminates and heats the earth, and it is the means that there is life on earth. That light was spoken into being by the Word of God, and it shines in the darkness. It is physical light, which is, as we've said earlier, electromagnetic waves and photons in some way or other that was difficult to understand. But it is the light that is made by God. And we're also seeing that there is spiritual light as well as physical light. Back to the prologue, we see in verse 9 of chapter 1, the true light that gives light to the world, that gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And we say this is spiritual light, light that gives understanding and relationship with God. And that becomes clearer when we see light appearing again later on in John's Gospel in chapter 3. So chapter 3, verse 19, we read, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." Jesus is the light of the world. He is the creator of light. He is the creator of the world, and he shines light into dark spaces of the world. These dark spaces are not just physical dark spaces, but also spiritual spaces. That our hearts are dark, our deeds are evil, and the light exposes that. This is how light is seen in John's Gospel. And what we see there, so when Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," that's the context. And the Pharisees listening would have been aware of that, but they would also have been thought about how light is spoken of in the Hebrew Bible. They will know of the light of God's presence in the temple, as we've said. They will know of the light in the pillar of fire in Exodus. And they will know about the word of God speaking light into creation. But there's also another place where light is talked of regularly, and that is in the prophet Isaiah. We have the classic Christmas reading. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." So that's Isaiah 9. It's something we have read at Christmas so many times. It's a reminder that light is coming into the world, and that light came in a baby, in Jesus. And Jesus is the light. But also we see later on in the chapters of Isaiah, Isaiah introduces us to a servant who will be the servant of God, and he is the one who lights the way. Just picking one quote from the servant songs in the later part of Isaiah, we see in Isaiah 42, "I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open the eyes that are blind." We have the servant of God being called the one who lights the way, a light for the Gentiles, who opens the eyes of the blind. So this is Jesus. This is who he claims to be. In that phrase, the light of the world, he opens, and it opens a whole range of ideas in there, those listening, all of which were challenging to the Pharisees and to other hearers. And they were uncomfortable with that. That is why they respond questioning his testimony and questioning his claim. They can see the claim is saying that he is something about being the creator, especially when he combines that with the use of the phrase "I am," because that is, "I am" is the name of God. They can see something about light exposing sin and bringing wrongdoing into the open. There's something about linking the claim of that claim to the expectations of the coming of the servant of God and also the coming of the Messiah that they wouldn't have seen as the same. So no wonder they don't like that statement of Jesus. That is what they thought at the time, so they challenged it and they argued against it. But what about us? How do we respond to this claim today? Is it a claim that is too well known for us to be readily really challenged by it? It is just one of those sayings from Jesus, the "I am" sayings, which we know. Or do we reflect on it and let it challenge us and shape our understanding of who Jesus is? Do we see that he is the creator? Let's see if I can get this build to work. The creator, the word who spoke light into being, both physical light as we've seen, but with all the complexity of light, and spiritual light, shining in the darkness and lighting the way. Jesus entering the world to bring light to darkness, and the servant of God who brings light to unbelievers and to the blind. Do we let this statement challenge us and help us to understand who Jesus is? This statement is repeated in the next chapter, where Jesus says it again when he is about to heal the man born blind. He says, "I am the light of the world." And he will bring light into physical darkness, that light, that physical darkness of the man born blind. And then as chapter 9 progresses, he brings spiritual light to the man. By the end of chapter 9, the man says to Jesus, "Lord, I believe." And then he worships him. So have we seen who Jesus is? We now look at what he demands of us, what it means to follow him as the man born blind did. Do we respond to Jesus? What does our passage say about following Jesus? He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Firstly, we should be following Jesus. And when we do so, we walk in the light and not in darkness. Darkness is a metaphor of being away from God, of being in chaos. In the beginning, the earth was created formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. The world was created an empty chaos in darkness. And God's Spirit and God's Word brings order to that chaos. The Spirit was hovering over the waters in Genesis 1. And the Word speaks, and there was light. And God says that light was good. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, as we had in John chapter 1. The light brings order to chaos of darkness, but darkness is the preferred place for many. As we saw in John 3, light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Darkness here is a picture of sin and evil. Yet it is also taken as being hidden. We're in darkness. We're not exposed to God's view. But that is a mistake. Darkness is not opposed to God. After all, darkness is part of God's creation. And it was dark before the Word spoke. But even the dark is not dark to God, as the psalmist says. It is us who think that darkness is good because we are evil. As an aside, we probably should remember that we're talking about light and darkness and not white and black. Many people make assumptions that you take that step from light and darkness to talk white and black. That is not what the Bible is saying, and we shouldn't do it. We are talking here about light and dark. Jesus says to those who follow him, they will not walk in darkness, but in light, because he is the light of the world. And where do we stand today? Do we welcome Jesus and follow him? Or do we prefer to hide away in darkness? Jesus offers life, eternal life, to those who follow him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Again, Jesus says, I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Is that where you are? Jesus says, come to me, come to the light. So we've seen who Jesus is. He's the light of the world, the one who creates, the one who shines in our hearts, exposing our sin and our darkness. But he offers us light and life, escape from darkness and fear. That is what he offers in saying, I am the light of the world. Do we turn to Christ? Do we trust in him for life and light, for forgiveness and cleansing? Light brings cleansing to our lives. In our passage, he is pointing to himself and not to the temple as the place where we find God. And in finding God, we find release from darkness. The Pharisees do not believe and they dismiss his claims. What about us? Do we ignore and dismiss Jesus? Or do we come to Christ and receive the light and life that he offers? Do we open the doors of our hearts and let Christ in? But also, what does it mean for us who have come to know Christ, the light of the world? If you remember in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says that we are the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So as Jesus is the light of the world, and when we follow Jesus, we will never walk in darkness. That is what he tells us. But we have the light of life, and then we must reflect that light, for we are the light of the world. Reflect the light of Jesus to those around us. Do we do that? Do we hide our lights? Or do we let it shine before others, that they may see our good deeds and glorify God our Father? That is a challenge for us when Jesus stands up in the temple and says, I am the light of the world. Do we trust in Jesus and follow him? Or do we ignore him like the Pharisees? And do we shine his light, reflecting his light in the way we live today, in everything we do? Amen. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you are the light of the world. Open our eyes to see your light in our hearts, to allow your light into our hearts. Challenge us as we think about who you are. Think about what it means for you, Jesus, to be the light of the world, to bring light into darkness. Think about what you demand from us, that we might follow you, and when following you, we know that light and we'll walk in that light, the light of life, that we might know life eternal. Help us to turn to Christ, to accept him as our light, to shine into our lives and expose our sin and bring release, that we might shine out and shine out the love of Christ in everything we do and bring glory to you, our Heavenly Father. Amen. And there will be prayer ministry available as we come back, as we move on to continue our worship and our song as the music group come back up. There will be prayer ministry at the back if you want prayer for anything that you've heard today, or you've brought things that need prayer. There will be people who will pray for you. And then as we come into our worship, as we reflect on who Jesus is.